It's good to see everyone here this morning. You could feel the excitement of people coming in. And even though we've got protocols and we're touching elbows and trying to stay apart from each other and our faces are covered, it's just a real joy. And I'm looking forward to when we can all be here together. I want to start with an apology. Thank you, brother. I was really mentally invested in the last few days and what I was doing, and I forgot to send out the emails with the link to the Zoom meeting and put it on Facebook. But just a reminder, like I did the last time, I forgot that these meetings are the same every week. We will change them periodically, and when we do, I'll let you know. But those Zoom links, they work every week. Same thing for our prayer meeting. So if I do that again, just remember it's the same. I also wanted to just make a short comment about someone who is a public figure, and that's Ravi Zacharias. And not going to really elaborate on it, but just to say that we're not ignoring it. And perhaps in the future, we may talk about that a little bit more. But one verse does come to mind. If you don't know who Ravi Zacharias is, he's a public figure, is with the Lord now in Christianity, an apologist, someone who gives a defense of the faith, talks about why we believe the Bible is true. And it seems for many years, kind of lived a double life and abused many women. So it's very unfortunate in many ways. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And it's just a warning, a reminder that we are sinners. And we can, it's good for us to look up to people. It's good for us to mark those and consider the outcome of their faith. But also to remember that we're just people and sinners saved by grace. So a couple weeks ago, we looked at what does it take for someone to be born again? The gospel, what the foundation of our faith, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, and what a person needs to do to appropriate that for themselves so that they can know for sure that their sins are forgiven and they have a home in heaven. And then last week, we talked about baptism, specifically believers' baptism, and how that is important for the child of God to obey the Lord in believers' baptism, and that should be something that the child of God wants to do, wants to obey God, wants to do the things that He set out for us to do. And we talked about all that that means, what that is a picture of, believers' baptism. That baptism of the Holy Spirit that happens the moment a person becomes a child of God. And this week, I'd like to talk a little bit about something we did cover a couple of years ago, and I'm going to talk about it perhaps a little bit differently. Castigate them because they don't use the same language that we do. But we do want to see what does the Bible say? Why do we talk the way that we do? Why do we use these terms? Well, for one, the New Testament doesn't say much about how this is to be done. As a matter of fact, there's a lot about church life that the New Testament does not spell out specifically. And we would see that as there's freedom in the form of our church life. We don't have a detailed list of the instruments that we can or cannot use in our corporate worship. We don't. We don't have a dictate. We have the breaking of bread on Sunday morning, and we schedule a time to do that. But there's no time that we're told we have to do that. I mean, some might say we need to have it at night. It's the Lord's Supper, not the Lord's breakfast. But that, you know, that's a personal preference. And there is freedom in the form of our church life in many areas. And fellowship, there's a lot of freedom in the form and how we do that, how we go about doing that. And I think that that's part of the wisdom of God. And we know that the church, part of our function is to display the manifold wisdom of God. So we believe that the New Testament teaches that the local church, like Northside Bible Chapel is, it's a local expression of the body of Christ, is autonomous. Now, what does that mean, autonomous? It simply means that we don't answer to a governing board that's outside of our church, or a special group that dictates to several churches how they are supposed to function and what they are supposed to teach. We believe that the New Testament teaches a plurality of leadership. The New Testament uses the word elders, overseers, bishops, and if you do a study of those, you will see that those are synonymous. They mean the same thing. And so the Lord has set up the church in that way to have not one man being the leader of that local church, but more than one man. And there is there's beauty in that. There is wisdom in that. Because you have more than one man, you have more than one gift. And we know that we are all members of one body, supplying our part, supplying how the Lord has gifted us. And that's true in the leadership of the local church as well. So when it comes to how we do some things, not all things, how we do some things, it's really up to the elders of the assembly to provide leadership and direction. It's the elders who will give an account to the Lord for how they led. And I remember, well, most of my Christian life, I remember taking a lot of peace and comfort in that fact. When it came to a decision that wasn't specifically laid out in the scripture, I could rest in the fact that my elders made that decision before the Lord. It wasn't my decision, it was their decision. They were going to answer to God for that, and I could rest. I didn't have to worry about it. Now, obviously, if it's something that directly goes against scripture, then, well, I would have the responsibility to say something, and same is true for you. So when it comes to fellowship, we see a biblical pattern and biblical principles when it comes to life in the local church. So let's go to where the church started, Acts chapter 2. Looking at the clock in my watch, and the clock, if my watch is accurate, and I think it is a little slow, which is bad news if you're looking at the clock and you're trying to get this meeting started on time. But it might be good news if the preacher's looking at that wondering when he should stop, right? So anyway, I don't want to go too long. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So right here from the very beginning, after Peter's sermon, we see a pattern. There was salvation, people who believed the message. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baptized. There was a reception. There was a continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking bread and fellowship and in prayers. So let's look at this idea of receiving. We have some instances of receiving in the New Testament. They're not always, and I'm not going to list them all. They're not always in regards of an assembly receiving someone into their fellowship, but many of them are. Sometimes, well, I'm going to say that in the New Testament, it seems as if someone was in their midst and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that person was received into fellowship. That was their child in the faith, if you will. But when it came to someone who was already a believer and they were sojourning and they might be staying there for some time or they moved to the area, then it wasn't automatically assumed that they were received into that fellowship. We have examples of letters that were written that said, receive this brother or this sister. They've labored with me in the gospel. Receive them. And so that's where we get that idea. If you've heard of someone moving to another area and that assembly, that church, writing them a letter to this other church where they were going to say, receive this brother, this sister, receive this family. They've been with us. We know them. We've labored with them. They are brother and sister in the Lord. And we would look at that and say, that is a wise thing to do. That is a good thing to do. We wouldn't hold that out as a requirement, but we'd say, if they bring a letter, you know, praise the Lord. That is helpful. And we see that here in the New Testament. Acts chapter 18. Let's just turn there. And in verse 27, it says, and when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. And this is when Apollos had been teaching, and Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and they took him aside. They explained to him the way of God more accurately. And so he desired to cross over, and so the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. So we see that principle there. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, 1 and 2, Paul writes here, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. We won't turn to these, but if you want to make note of them, 2 Corinthians 3, the first couple of verses there, Colossians 4:10, Philemon verses 12 and verse 17. So there is this idea, this principle or pattern, if you want to say, examples that believers were exhorted to receive someone who was coming in, someone who was already a believer in the Lord Jesus. They were exhorted, receive them. So that was That was important for them to do. It was an example for us. Excuse me. But what does it mean? What does fellowship mean? Well, if we look at Acts 42, you don't have to turn back there, but that fellowship means a close mutual association. It also means to share, participation, willing contribution. So people who are in fellowship with one another are people who are close. Now we know that we're close in that we have a fellowship, a participation in the body of Christ. But when we talk about the local expression of the body of Christ, this church family, as I like to say, we are a family. We're close. And there is a participation. And that is a theme that we can trace through the scriptures. Like that's pretty solid principle there. We're called to build one another up. We're called to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to stir one another up to love and good deeds. And you can't do that unless you're close. We see a principle here in Luke, a very practical example where the Lord, after he had spoken to the multitude from Peter's boat, he told Peter to put out into the deep. And of course, he told him to cast his net in. And Peter is like, we've been at this all night, but I'll do it. And they caught all these fish and caught so many fish that he called his partners, it says, to come and help. And they filled their boat as well, and both the boats started to sink. His partners, they would have shared in the business, shared in the profits. They would have shared in the labor, the work. But they also shared in the benefits, right? The profits from that. When we think about the local church, we share in the responsibility of the work that the Lord has for us to do. Perhaps that's a different I just like to know that I can step away if I want to. Feel like I'm chained down. Anyway, I don't think I'm going anywhere. Are we good now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to pretend like I know what all the other churches are doing and point the finger at them like they're not doing it the right way. I think that would be foolish. But perhaps some people look at their church where they are in fellowship or where they consider themselves a member as a place that they go once or twice or even three times a week to worship God. And that might be as far as it goes. Or maybe they do have this idea of fellowship and relationship, a community, which I strongly believe in. This family idea, but there's no feeling or acknowledgement or understanding that they share a part in this work. And so perhaps that might be different than some churches, but when we think about Northside Bible Chapel, when we think about what the New Testament says, we need to have that understanding that we share in the responsibility of the work that the Lord Jesus is doing through Northside Bible Chapel. We share in the benefits of all of that as well. And I think a lot of it has to do with motivation. If you come and perhaps you share in the work, but you do it because you want to share in the benefits, well, that's not a very good motivation, is it? Sharing in the responsibility of the work because, one, it's commanded of us by our Savior, but two, we want to be pleasing to Him. We love Him, and so we're interested in what He's doing and His work. And so we pour ourselves into that because we want His agenda advanced. And so if that's our motivation, I think that's a good motivation. And so we can take joy in receiving the benefits. Some of those benefits, well, you've got shepherds who look after your soul. You have care from the assembly, the prayers of His people as we bear one another's burdens, and the continuing ministry of the Word of God. And again, as I said before, those relationships that we have with one another that require us to interact in a constructive way. If you see something in my life and you love me, you've got a responsibility, I should say, something in my life that's not pleasing to God. You have a responsibility to say something to me about that. And so that's a benefit. I have people who love me, who want to see me grow in Christ. That's a tremendous benefit. What is expected? Somebody says, you know what? I feel like Northside Bible Chapel is where God wants me. You guys do some things differently. What do I have to do to become one of you guys? And what am I going to have to do? Like, does that mean I'm going to have to, we don't serve coffee anymore, but does that mean I'm going to have to serve coffee? Or am I going to have to be in the nursery? What does that mean? Well, let us consider what the Word of God says. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll just start in verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, beloved brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who is promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in this example, we see that we should, among many things, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we are to exhort one another. So there should be some commitment to the meetings or gatherings of the assembly and its activities. I don't know if that's clear enough, so I will expound on it a little bit. Does that mean that whenever the doors are open, you're expected to be here? No, that's not what that means. But insofar as, and I'll use myself as an example, insofar as I am able, and the Lord has equipped me and the Lord leads me, I personally want to not necessarily be here when the doors are open, because this is not the church. This is just a building. There's nothing, extra holy about the brick and mortar of this place. What is holy are the saints of God, because he made you that way. So, but I believe he has me here in this church family. And so if they are gathering together, if they are involved in an activity, a ministry, an outreach, whatever it is, if I can, I want to be a part of that. So I'm going to be here. It's not because it's a checklist. I may have mentioned this before, but I remember when I was a little boy, there was some older brethren in my church who had these pins on their suit coat. And some of them went way down here. And they were, it was like a little chain of little medals that went down. And each medal was a year of perfect attendance in Sunday school. And I remember thinking, man, that is cool. They never missed a Sunday. They were in Sunday school, perfect every day of the year. Wow. Now, if they did that simply to say, look at me, which I mean, I don't know. I was nine. I don't know if that's why they were doing it or not. If they did that to say, look at me, well, that, you know, they have their reward. Somebody looked at them, a nine-year-old boy, and said, wow. So that was their reward. But if they were doing, if they were present because they wanted to be with the Lord's people, they wanted to hear the teaching of the Word of God, they just love their Savior, then wow, that's awesome. Don't let the expectation of involvement scare you. As Romans 12 points out, we are all members of one body. We have different gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. So there are many factors to consider in how someone is to be involved, right? How the Holy Spirit has gifted you. That's going to dictate how you serve. He gave you a gift so that you can serve, so that you can be involved. So that's important. And we've talked about that before. And if you have questions about what your spiritual gift is, talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to Mr. Jim. We'd love to help you figure that out. Talk to Mr. Tim. You have to consider that. You have to consider your circumstance in life. If you are a single mother with 10 children at home, I don't think we're going to see you leading a lot of ministries. Your circumstance in life, you have to consider that. I know I mentioned this before, but I remember one church I was in, we were building a barn on church property. And I was a very young buck and loved being up in the rafters and setting trusses and all those things. So I was doing that and it was really hot and I was in my glory swinging a hammer. And you're going to laugh at me when I say what I'm about to say, because I don't know why I'm getting choked up. A brother comes along who is 75. And he rolls down his window and he has ice cold Mountain Dews for us. You might not know what Mountain Dew is, but I was very well acquainted with it. And that was his involvement. No one expected him to get up 30 feet in the air and swing a hammer, but he could bring a cold Mountain Dew on a hot day. And I will say that something simple like that can move somebody.
because it communicated that we were together. And that's what we're called to do. So each one, as the Lord has gifted you, I have to use this. Each one, as the Lord has gifted you, as the Lord has enabled you, as the Lord leads you, do your part. Not because you're worried about what other people are going to think, not because you need some notch on your spiritual belt. I'm okay. Thank you. But because we love the Lord and we love his people and we love his work. So also there should be a submission to the oversight of the elders. Once someone understands what it means to be received into fellowship and expresses the desire to do so, we would want to have a conversation with them. We would want to know that they've been born again and that they're in agreement with the teaching here at Northside. Then we would want to let the assembly know that this person desires to be received into fellowship, and there will be an opportunity for the saints to be in agreement. I should also mention that at this time, Northside is incorporated, and anyone who is in fellowship, you're also a member of the corporation, and you have voting rights at the annual meeting. So let's just think about the danger and not having a clear understanding of who is in fellowship, because there is a danger in that. It can be very difficult to encourage or exhort someone in their service for the Lord or in their responsibilities if they've never even expressed the desire to be in fellowship, or if they don't even understand what we often say are the privileges and responsibilities. They don't even understand what that is. Some people may consider a church their home church, their church family, where God wants them. But unless they have been received into fellowship, they're still outside. I mean, there is an inside and there is an outside. If they haven't been received into fellowship, they're not really inside. That church may love them, may consider them, you know, a regular attendee, but in reality, they're a visitor, a welcomed visitor. But unless they've said, this is where I think God wants me, I would like to be received into fellowship, I want to partner with what God is doing here, then they're not in fellowship. In the case of church discipline, don't want to think about that or talk about that. We have some strong biblical principles there. You can look at those in Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which again talks about judging those who are inside, not judging those who are outside. So it's important to know who is inside and who is outside. We have no responsibility or authority to discipline people in the church down the street. We don't. Or people who are not believers. But the elders are commanded to keep watch over the souls that are in our care. The people inside. The people who are part of the fellowship. We will give an answer to God for the people and how we shepherded them, the people in our care. It's not the people down the street. It's not the visitor, although we love visitors and we want to make them welcome and we want to minister the word of God to them. Our responsibility as shepherds is to shepherd the people who God has entrusted to our care. What about leaving a fellowship? Well, there's a lot I could say about that, but I'll just say it should be on good terms. I know Beth and I, we've been through some very hard times in chapel life. And we watched a lot of friends move on. And we felt like just because times are hard doesn't mean we're going to leave. We'll leave if and when the Lord says, go somewhere else. And that was part of his plan for us. But we are sinners. We're going to sin against each other. We're going to offend each other. We're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. Our personalities aren't always going to mesh perfectly. But if somebody leaves after they have felt the Lord telling them that was where he wanted them to be, to leave over a personality issue or hurt feelings is a sad commentary. So when someone leaves to go somewhere else, it should be the privilege, the honor, the blessing of that assembly to say, we send our prayers with you. Here's a letter to wherever you're going, wherever the Lord's going to use you. We're sending you out. How much different that is. I remember when we left our last assembly, somebody came up to me and said, you're the first person in a long time that left where we had cake. Now, maybe they were celebrating because they were getting rid of us. But it was a marked difference. And I'm not trying to say, you know, we did it the right way. But it was a big difference. So what is the conclusion of the matter? If you think that Northside Bible Chapel is where the Lord has you right now, and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, I would encourage you to seek to be received in the fellowship. If you're unsure about where the Lord would have you, but you're enjoying being with us, you appreciate the teaching, then we're happy to have you here as a beloved visitor, our guest. There's much more that I could say about it. If you have questions about it, please get in touch with me. Let's talk. Let's talk about what the Bible has to say. But we think that it's important not only to do what we think is the biblical way to have church life and form, but also to know why we do it that way. Because there are some things that we do that are just personal preference. And that's okay, as long as we don't say our personal preference is thus saith the Lord. And then there are things that we do that are thus saith the Lord. So if you ever have questions about those kinds of things, please ask. Don't just go along because brother so-and-so said it was so it must be true. Let's find out what the Word of God has to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can rest in his leadership. And we just pray that you would continue to lead us, to direct us, give us your thoughts. Give us wisdom. Let each one of us individually know how we can be in partnership with what you're doing here, how you've gifted us, how you want us to pour ourselves into the lives of others. We just ask for your help. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.